You guys, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books was nominated for a Webby Award, which is this really prestigious award that I am dying to win. And there's a People's Voice component, and you can vote and get me from number two, second place, to first place. But you have to vote. Please go to vote.webbys.com. Vote.webbys.com, but it's kind of complicated, so it might be easier just to go to zibbyowens.com or my Instagram at zibbyowens, where it'll always be in my stories and it's in one of those little circle highlights. Please, please, please vote. Voting ends April 18th and I'm in second place, so please vote for best individual episode, talk show, interview show. Thank you so much.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, the creator and host of the award-winning podcast that you're listening to right now. Thank you so much, called Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. It is a daily podcast, 365 days a year, and each day we talk to an author about all of the things related to their career, their book, their life, and more in 30 minutes or less, because who has time? I am now an author myself, although I wasn't when I started this podcast, and you can get my new memoir, Bookends, a memoir of love, loss, and literature, wherever books are sold starting July 1st, and my children's book, Princess Charming. You can learn more about me at zibbyowens.com, but really, you're here to learn more about the authors, and that is what we're going to do. Also, be sure to check out all the other podcasts in the Zcast Podcast Network. You can learn more at zcastnetwork.com and definitely check out those shows as well. This is part two of my interview with Neil deGrasse Tyson. It's my first double episode, but it is worth it. Neil deGrasse Tyson is a total genius, and I did not want to stop him talking. There was just too much to learn. So enjoy part two and enjoy this episode. I think it is one of the most important things and has changed my entire view on life and death, among other things. Enjoy.
Okay.
Okay, that's just one chapter.
Oh my I think our time is up.
That's just life. You went straight there, life and death.
I'm like, how can I not ask?
Okay.
What's the meaning of life, you know?
Okay.
You know, it's so funny. I do a lot of things, right?
By the way, I didn't specifically mention meaning of life. I'm going to say spend a minute on that.
Great, okay.
I've been asked, you know, what is the meaning of life? And first, I don't think that question is as deep as people think it is or want it to be. That's just an opinion.
Okay.
But often they search for meaning in life. Typically, religions might offer pathways to give you meaning in life. And I've come to realize that maybe meaning in life is not something to be found, because the question is asked as though it's, you know, behind a tree or under a rock or in the seat cushion, you know, behind in the couch, dig it out of the out of the cushions. Maybe instead, meaning is something you create. So you have more power over meaning than you've admitted to yourself. Now, clearly, if organization says, we have meaning in life, come to us, they're preventing you from creating the meaning on your own. Mm-hmm. And I think on some level, that's a little bit unfair because we do have this power. You ask yourself, well, what do you value? Do you value happiness? Do you value tranquility? Do you value people? Do you value pets, animals? Do something for them that creates meaning so that the next day you said, this world is better off. And it dovetails to the point of lessening the suffering of others. In that case, that could be how meaning comes to you, because you bring meaning to others. And so I've stopped looking for meaning in life, and I spend my days, I spend portions of my day reflecting on how I can bring meaning to others, because bringing meaning to others brings meaning to me. Mm-hmm. And if I can give a quick example, medium example.
Oh my gosh.
okay, I heard an interview on, I think it was NPR. It's one of these interviews that took place in a restaurant and they're just hanging out and you can hear the noise in the background. It's, of course, all audio. And they were interviewing a hockey star. And I don't really know hockey, but apparently this was a big star, all right? And while they're talking, someone would walk by and ask for his autograph, okay? And the interviewer said, does that get old? Or is that annoying to you? And his answer, I've never forgotten. He said, if my God-given gifts as a hockey player are on a level where I can spend 10 seconds of my life to give an autograph to someone and it makes their day, mm-hmm. it's 10 seconds versus someone's happiness for a day or more, who is he to deny that infusion of happiness into the world? And I said, whoa. At that time, I was hardly known by anybody, so no one was asking me for autographs. But when that started, mm-hmm. and it began with autographs, now, of course, it's all selfies. But they don't even know what an autograph is. Because a selfie, you can post the selfie, and then it gives you social media status. But the point is, it's a trifling investment of my time. And to the extent that it brings joy, pleasure, enlightenment. Ideally, they'd ask me a question about the universe and I'd answer it so that I can be educator for the moment rather than just target of celebrity. Right. But so I've never forgotten that. And so I will sort of humbly accommodate such requests if I'm spotted in the street or wherever, whenever that happens.
Wow.
Oh, okay, now there's 11 more chapters.
I was like, I had all these questions I was going to
I'm
ask
sorry.
You.
No, go, go.
No, okay. I can't. Our time is already
no,
up.
No, okay.
No, I'm serious. It's amazing.
No, you can edit it and take out other stuff.
I know,
okay.
It's amazing. My one question at the end, and I had all this stuff on disability and race and all this stuff. There's
oh
so
my
much
gosh.
In here.
We can go there.
No, it's okay.
We can go there. Disability. We spend a minute on disability.
Let's spend a minute on disability because it's so important. And you really question, well, what is this? What does it mean to be disabled? And you give so many examples on what it means to be racist and skin color and who even
and gender
and gender and all of this. But
And by the way, they're all.
You're like, is Jim Abbott disabled? Like, are all these people disabled?
Yeah, is Jim Abbott?
They all achieved not despite their disability, but because of it.
Right, right. And so that forces you to question Jim Abbott. For those who don't know, he was a pitcher in the major leagues, and pitched for the Yankees for a couple of seasons. And Yankees is a very storied franchise, of course. I happen to be born in the Bronx, and it's the Bronx Bombers, you know, the Yankees. Yeah. So I have authentic, justifiable interest in the Yankees. But he goes to pitch for the Yankees, and he pitches a no-hitter. And a no-hitter, there are not many of this is where you get up, and no one gets a hit to make it to first base. Okay, there's about, I forgot the number, about 300 of those pitched out of the tens of thousands of games ever pitched. Okay? He was born without a hand. He has only one hand. One hand. Okay? Imagine growing up. I want to be a baseball pitcher. No, you don't. Imagine what people would be telling him. Mm-hmm. No, you don't. You have one hand. You got to be able to field. You got to wear a glove. How are you going to do this? Mm-hmm. You can't do this. Look at the forces operating on people who do not match the norms set by others. Yep. Those forces are huge. And they don't stop whether or not you don't have a hand. Are you female? Oh, no, you can't. I'm old enough to remember. No one will listen to a female voice for the evening news. They're not authoritative enough. They're not. Just to hear what society, the disenfranchised of society, had to go through just to break through.
Yep.
The societal expectations of what you can or can't be or what you should or shouldn't be. If you're female, if you're dark-skinned, if you were, I was growing up, I knew early I wanted to be an astrophysicist, but I was also athletic. They said, oh, why don't you be an athlete? No one said, why don't you be an astrophysicist? Even though my evidence was there. Mm-hmm. Okay, I had a telescope. I had that they don't even see that. Mm-hmm. They saw me run, and they saw my skin color. So Jim Abbott doesn't have a hand. I give a whole list of people who some of the movies have been made out of from them. Yeah. And so I think we need to diversify what we embrace as what it is to be human. It involves the autism spectrum as well. There's a term for this now today. It's a great term. It's neurodiverse, okay? And because if you think it through, let's say the day comes we have genetic engineering. You can engineer your children to be whatever you want. And what might happen? Oh, I want a perfect child, you know, and design their height, their weight, their temperament, whatever. Well, what are you going to base that on? Is there some model human, like you have model homes, you know? You're going to buy a home. Go to this model home, and you see how you're supposed to do it. This is where the couch would go, and the bed, and the bedrooms, and everything. Oh, is that how you're going to design your human? All right. If you did that, what would that world be? You know, the Stepford Wives comes to mind, where everyone is engineered to be the same, when so much of what makes life and civilization interesting is that we're different. Mm-hmm. It's the different people that are responsible for most of what is interesting in this world. Mm-hmm. Different in every metric, in every way. So this is just a taste of the mind-body chapter there. But yes, we're short on time, so that's all I'm going to say about that chapter.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLaughlin. Jay McLaughlin is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLaughlin and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLaughlin stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLaughlin's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLaughlin's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern. And the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLaughlin. And so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLaughlin is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20, capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital ZIBBY20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white open long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLaughlin. Thanks so much.
Hey, grown-ups. The Cat in the Hat cast is a new podcast from Wondery, perfect for the whole family. Join the Cat in the Hat and your favorite Dr. Seuss characters as they get whisked away on a new adventure every week. Fish dreams of creating his very own polite and quiet podcast. That is, until he gets a surprise visit to his Fishbowl podcast studio from the Cat in the Hat himself, and it becomes very clear that the cat has other plans for the podcast, and those plans are the opposite of quiet. The cat may be disruptive, but it turns out he's also a great help to get Fish out of all kinds of predicaments. Bursting with music, silliness, and rhymes, the Cat in the Hat cast encourages us all to find fun that is funny in every episode. So sing along to new favorite songs, try your luck at Titanic tongue twisters, have some fun with wondrous wordplay, and most importantly, bring your family along for all of the adventures in the Cat in the Hat cast. Follow the Cat in the Hat cast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to the Cat in the Hat cast ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Wondery Kids Plus in Apple Podcasts.
My last question, I want to go back to the lottery, playing the lottery.
Playing the lottery.
Writing a book and hoping for its success, I feel, is like playing the lottery. And yet everybody keeps writing books, right? It's impossible. There aren't enough readers. There isn't enough time for all the readers to read all the books. And yet there's this deep compulsion to keep writing and fabulous books that keep coming out. But having a book reach that level of success is like winning the lottery. And yet everybody keeps trying. What do you make of that?
I think there are people who write, especially novels. See, I have the advantage that I write nonfiction. By the way, I hate the term nonfiction. I don't like what I do to be referenced as the negative of something else.
Mm, yeah, totally.
Give me a word. It's
reality?
Reality. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Fiction and reality. Fiction and reality. How about that?
I'll start that movie.
Don't make the existence of what I do the negation of something else, okay?
Love it.
So, I write reality. but the difference is, there's an unfortunate fact here for novelists, is I can write a book, a nonfiction book, and if it's published, it's probably because somebody sees that it's adding information to the world mm-hmm. in some way that's worth preserving. Whereas a novel, if no one reads your novel or no one is interested in it, I don't know that it's going to be researched later for information
right.
about in the body of knowledge that makes up civilization. Whereas in principle, every nonfiction book is some contribution to our knowledge and understanding of how the world works. Mm-hmm. Even if it's political, that's rife with opinions, someone will go back and say, oh, this is what people thought, here's what that. And so even if not everyone reads the book, and even if it does not make the bestseller list, it's still a cog in the wheel that turns and moves civilization forward. So I think we write, and there are people who write because they can't not write. The people write because they don't have other platforms. Okay? I have other platforms. I don't need to write. I can just get on one of my platforms and just talk. I could do that, but here's something that hardly anyone knows. Practically every sentence I ever utter in public, I've previously written down. So that I've thought about what words to use in that sentence. I've thought about how you think about the flow of that information. I've thought about the timbre and the rhythm and the phrasings and how the words work together in sequence, which is a higher level of communication, I think, than just speaking. And you know this because you can look at an exactly transcribed conversation, and it's like, what was going on, all right? You can't... Because there's a lot of just words that are just there to fill space, and it's not what you would write. When I get a chance to write, there's precision, accuracy, and tone that I can set. And it's from that from which I draw the words that I speak. And so for me, writing has that value, even if no one ever read anything I wrote. And I get to think about a perfect sentence that is uneditable by editors. Can I tell you one of my perfect sentences?
I would love to hear your okay. perfect sentence.
By the way, my idea of perfect sentences began when I was walking down the street and I saw this billboard and it quoted F. Scott Fitzgerald. And I read the sentence and I said, oh my gosh, okay, I will never be a novelist. This sentence was so, oh my gosh, it's from The Great Gatsby, okay?
Yep.
Here's the sentence. It's describing his party, one of his parties on his Long Island residence. In his blue gardens, men and girls came and went like moths amid the champagne, the whispers, and the stars.
Mm.
It was like, whoa, okay, and it's all there. Okay, he's got the men and the girls. Girls would just be younger versions of the men, right? This is the language of the 1920s, right? And it's all there. You don't need any other thing to help you picture right. what's going on.
Yep.
And what's different about in the movie that had Leonardo DiCaprio is they made the party very noisy yes. with a lot of loud music. But I think in the original novel, the champagne, the whispers yep. and the stars, there it yeah. is. So I said, damn, okay, I'll never be a novelist. If that's the kind of sentences you got to write when you write a novel, count me out, because I don't have that in me. But I have, here's my best sentence ever. You ready?
I'm ready.
The spinning planets orbit the sun along their appointed paths like pirouetting dancers in a cosmic ballet choreographed by the forces of gravity. So that sentence, for me, it's got the metaphor, but the metaphor is precise.
Yes.
And I used to dance, so that a little bit of dance vocabulary came in there, you know. But it's a rotating planet, pirouetting dancer. Someone choreographed it. Why are planets moving at all? Gravity is doing everything. So I'm very proud of that. That's my one perfect sentence.
I love it.
So now I'm going to try for a second perfect sentence, and then we'll be good.
Yeah. So what about the poor novelists whose books will never be referenced again?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, I remember when I was in college and I looked at the library. The library had, you know, 3 million books in it or something. And I just did the math. And I said, okay, I'm 18 and I have this many years left. How fast would I have to read a book to get through all 3 million books before I die? It's like a book every 3 seconds or something. So then I realized I have to rely on others to guide me to what books to read, who are wiser than I am, who live longer, and who... So because you don't want it to be a crapshoot. You want to have some guidance in it. And you're right. Some works of literature are better, objectively better, and objectively more important and significant than others. There's no doubt about it. So I don't have problems using other people's lists. And there are great places online, Goodreads, for example. There you track what other people are reading and they comment on it. And so there's some focusing there. All right? You don't have to go at it cold. And
this podcast, perhaps.
Stop! This podcast! I should have listed that first. You are a filter in the medium. And I think a filter is good. A filter is good. And I guess award ceremonies are also a kind of a filter. You know, the Pulitzer Prizes, the Booker Award, this sort of thing. And so, yeah, you can't do it yourself, unfortunately. There was a date where any learned, educated person could have, in principle, read every book that was ever published. But that was some time ago. It was like the 16, early 1700s. And then it rapidly got out of hand. Yeah. So I don't know. I think either no one will read this book, or everyone will read this book. So I don't think it'll land in the middle.
Everyone's going to read this
book. No, I don't know.
Everyone's going to read this book. Starry Messenger, Cosmic Perspectives and Civilization. This is everything you ever need to know about life itself. What else is there? I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, the life and death part kind of brings it home.
Yeah. Oh, no, there's so much in there. It's amazing. It's a reframing of everything. It's, you know, it's a new lens. Through it. It's the telescope.
The telescope, the cosmic, the conduit to the cosmos to look back.
Yes.
One quick thing, if I could steal another minute from you.
Okay.
One of the things I'm proudest of in the book, in the color and race chapter, I thought to myself, suppose 19th century anthropologists were racist black people instead of racist white people.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep.
What might they say?
Yep.
And so I have 3 pages
I know,
of what a racist...
I dog-eared all of them. Skin cancer, itchy scales,
right.
Facial acne.
Yes, you've never seen a black kid with pizza face acne.
Oh my gosh, no, you have so much here.
So you go through the list of things that were just simply ignored by... Because if you're racist, you have to be at the top. Your race, your color, has to be at the top, and everybody else's is below you. Otherwise, why go through the exercise?
Right.
So I said, let's make some racist black people and then see. There's another one in there. So all you have to do is say why white people are closer to chimpanzees than black people are.
Mm-hmm.
And there are little things like if you part, other than the hands and the face of a chimp, if you part their hair, their skin is white. Okay. This is completely white.
Yep.
So chimps are white, and also they prune each other for lice. You've seen this?
Yes.
Lice outbreaks among black people is extremely rare.
Yeah.
The lice just doesn't like the hair of black people. Loves the hair of white people.
I've never had lice, just saying.
You never, but I bet you have friends who've had lice.
I've had, yes.
Of course. Yeah. Okay. Other things, their suicide rate is a fraction mm-hmm. that of white people for black. I mean, if you cherry pick...
Yep.
The data, that's what you get. And my favorite stupid one was, you've never, ever seen black children walk by a tree and say, gee, I want to live in that tree. That has never happened.
That was hilarious.
But, you know, white kids will say, I want to build a tree house. Let's go. So I say, so the anthropologist would say, these are the white people wanting to get closer to their roots as chimpanzees, returning to the trees. So it was just, it's an attempt to just show you the absurdity of it all. And what science can tell you when you look at it, especially with a cosmic perspective. Anyhow, so the book was birthed, and there it is in your hand.
Yeah, we're in the delivery room. I'm holding it. I caught it.
Yes. It's not even out. It's not at this moment. It's not yet released. Ooh, so I guess it's still in the what do you call it? In the room.
Delivery room.
No. The incubation room. It's.
The neonatal
room.
We're in the NICU.
Yeah.
Well, I'm honored to talk to you about it.
And thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'll just make it a double episode. We'll just launch it in 2 episodes. Why not?
Oh, is that allowed?
I've never done it before, but.
Okay.
I didn't want you to stop talking.
Because we went too long. Okay.
It's fine. Sure. I love it. Mm-hmm. You're like, I don't think I'll ever be next to such a genius thing in the rest of my life.
Oh, no.
So I'm soaking it up selfishly. Anyway, thank you so much. Thanks for writing it. I'm so glad it came out fully formed.
Yes.
And I could read it and shift my perspective and all your thoughts today. And how motivating is that? I mean, just so intensely, fundamentally motivating.
Oh, amazing. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.